Shalom to all. Today's office Chol and Av Yorcha. So we are starting by the fourth line with the words Amar Avuna. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Mem Sarabas Biyakam Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing checking the Shechita knife. Amar Avuna says Hi Techa Deloy Sar Sakina Kamei Chacham. This butcher, meaning the Shechet, who didn't show his knife to the Chacham to check it, Misham Tinole, we put him at the Chayim. We excommunicate him. That's because it's an affront to the honor of the Chacham, so we put him at the Chayim. Now Rava Amar Rava says Ma'brinole, we remove him from his position. Umachruzin Abisri the Treifahi, and we make an announcement about his meat that it's treif that you can't eat from it. And boy, please. They're not arguing. In the first situation, when we just put him into Chayrem, that's talking about where it turned out that his knife was perfectly fine. It was an okay knife, and therefore his meat is still okay. We're not going to remove him from position. We're just going to excommunicate him because of the affront to the Chacham's honor. Whereas Rava was talking about when his knife wasn't good in the first place, so then we're going to take him off his position. Here, Ravina Amar, he takes us up a notch. If his knife turned out not to be okay, we rub his meat with excrement, that then it's not going to even be able to be sold to a non-Jew. Now, it's important to note that Ravina holds that if his knife did turn out to be okay, we're still going to take him off his position and say that his meat is treif. It's just in that situation, we're going to allow him to sell to a Jew. And here we're going to have a story. There was a butcher, who didn't show his knife to Rav Bar Chanina, and Shamte, he put him into Chayrem, and he removed from possession, and he made an announcement that his meat was treif, so clearly he holds like Ravina, and then Marzucha Rav Ashi visited Rav Bar Chanina, and Amalu, he told them, La'ainu Rabbanon Bimilse, that's Rabbi Girsa, he asked them, they look into the situation, why is that the Talu Bei Tafli? That's because he has little kids relying on him. Tafli is like Lashon of Taf, which means little children. In other words, Rabbi Bar Chanina had to do what he did, but he still felt bad, because at the end of the day, the fellow needed Parnasa. So he asked Marzucha Rav Ashi to try to find a Pesach, try to find a way to help this fellow get reinstated to his position. About Rav Ashi Sakine, Rav Ashi checked his knife, and it turned out that the knife was perfectly fine. Va'achshrei, and he's machshrim, he said, no problem, you can go back to Shechita. So Amalei Marzucha asked him, aren't you chayshish for Saba, for the elder one, for Rav Bar Chanina? You're not chayshish for his honor. How could you allow this? So Amalei told him, shlichus ekavdinon. We're doing his shlichus. He asked us to try to find some sort of way to reinstate the fellow, and since his knife turned out to be okay, that's my reason to say that he could go back to Shechita. And now one last thing, going back all the way to the Mishnah, Amar Rav Huna, he says, shein talusha v'tzipar talusha muter lishchayt bal chatchila. If we have a tooth or a nail which is totally detached, one's allowed to shecht with it lichatchila. Ask more about Natanan. We learned in our Mishnah, chos mimagol katzir v'amegera v'hashinayim v'hatzipayren mibnei shein chaynkin. Then one's not allowed to shecht with a harvesting sickle, with a saw, with teeth, or with a nail. That's because they choke. In other words, they just tear the simanim instead of cutting them. So it's a stira. The Gemara answers no. Shein hashin lekasha. There's a stira tooth and tooth habachado habatarti. Rabbi Arhuna was talking about one tooth. As long as it's nice and sharp and has no nicks in it, you could shecht with it. Whereas our Mishnah was talking about two teeth. Shechting with that is like shechting with a knife that has a nick in it, so you're not allowed to shecht with it. And tziparin lekasha, there's no question, nail on nail, habatalusha, habamuchuberes, one is referring to one that's detached, and if it's detached, so you're allowed to shecht with it, and the other one is talking about where it's connected, and as we know, you're not allowed to shecht with something that's mechuber. Anton of the Mishnah continued to discuss one of these things we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, hashecha mako katzer b'derech halichasa, if a person shechts with a harvesting sickle in the going way, not in the coming way, we'll explain this in just a moment, so b'sham pasul b'sham says pasul b'sil machshir b'sil says kosher, however, if he smoothed out the teeth, harein kasakin is just like a regular knife. Now, Magal Katsu, we already described in the previous Mishnah, is referring to a harvesting sickle that has very sharp teeth. However, they don't jut out like a saw. They're curved inwards towards the handle of the knife. And even though the Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to shecht with the chatchila, let's say somebody did. So here we have machlokes b'sham b'silal. And note that the Mishnah says b'derech halichasa, in the way of it's going. Meaning when he pushes the knife away from himself, there's no way it's going to be able to get caught on these teeth because, as we said, they're curved inwards. And so it's a very smooth cut. It's only if he pulls the knife back towards himself, then that's where the issue would be. So the Gemara tells us, Amar v'chiyah bar Abba, Amar b'yechanan, av k'shechshiru b'yis Hillel, even though b'yis Hillel was machshir the shechita, lo yechshiru el taharu m'dei nevela. They were only machshir it to be taharu from nevela. In other words, the shechita is kosher in as much as the animal is not considered nevela, and so it's not tamei. Avol b'achila asura, it's still asur b'achila, and that's because of the gzeira, that if you say that you're allowed to eat an animal that was shechted behalicha with this magal katzir, so then he might end up pulling it towards himself, then for sure the shechita would be possible, and still somebody might eat from it. So therefore, the animal is not nevela, but one can't eat from the shechita. And Amar Rashi supports this. Dekanami is actually midoik like that. Dektani, what does the Mishnah say? Beishamai paislin ubeis hil machshirin. Beishamai says pasul, beis hil says kosher. And veloikatani beishamai oisrin ubeis hil matirin. It does use lashon of aser and mutter. And therefore, you learn from Shiz beis hilal that the shechita is kosher, and so it's not nevela, but you can't eat from it. As the Gemara Tamech, according to you, listening beishamai metamin ubeis hil matirin. If this whole discussion is about nevela, then it should use the word tamei versus tahar, not aser versus mutter or apostle versus kosher. Al rather, paisun machshirin v'aisun matirin chadimelsehi, the words pasul and kosher and asr and mutter are really all the same thing, and therefore, when Beis Hillel says machshirin, that means not only is it a kosher shechita and it's not nevela, but also you're allowed to eat from it. And we move on to another Mishnah. Now, in this Mishnah Gemara, we begin a discussion of hagrama, one of the psulim of shechita. We've already mentioned this previously, very briefly, and here we're going to have a much lengthier discussion about it. Hagrama is going out of bounds, meaning shechting out of the allowed place. And to understand this, we have to have an idea of what the makam shechita looks like. And if you have a picture, that's fantastic. As the saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words, and some Gemaras actually have pictures in them. If yours does not, that's okay. There also happens to be some fantastic Sfarim out there, which do a marvelous job depicting these Gemaras. They're replete with detailed, full-color pictures, clearly describing everything. But that being said, we're going to do our best to explain without the aid of a picture. So the Mishnah Gemara focus on the koneh, the trachea, or the windpipe, and it's composed of a number of rings of cartilage called taba'is, connected by skin, and you can actually feel it on yourself. That's the kind of bony protrusion at the front of your neck. Now, at the top of the koneh, closer to the head, there's something called the taba'as gedayla, the large ring. That's a large piece of cartilage that encircles it, and it's important to note that the taba'as gedayla is the only one that completely surrounds the koneh. All the other ones only wrap around the majority of it, and the rest of it's closed off by skin. And as we know, shechita has to be done on the neck, so technically, anywhere on the koneh is fair game. However, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, one has to ensure not to shecht past the taba'as gedayla. If he does, that's called hagrama and it's pasul. Now, the Gemara is going to bring more shitas, which argue with that, and talk about another part, which is higher than the taba'as gedayla, closer into the head, and that's called the kaiva, which is translated as either hat or helmet. It's kind of shaped like an old-school military helmet. Wider at the bottom, where it sits on top of the taba'as gedayla, and then slanting upwards. That slant is called the shipui kaiva, the slant of the helmet, and then it ends in a point. Now, one more thing, inside the kaiva are two flaps of cartilage called chitei, wheat kernels, because that's actually how they're shaped, so that's why they get that name. So that being said, the Mishnah tells us, Hashechem mitoicha tabas, if a person shechs within the tabas, is referring to the tabas gedayla, and he shechs really close to the end of it. However, v'shir ba malay hachatal pnei kula, he still leaves a thin string's worth across the entire thing, meaning across the entire circumference of the top of the tabas gedayla, he leaves even a very thin part, so shechitas ekshar is shechitas kasher, even though he was really close to the top, since he didn't cut through it, it's not a problem. Which means, according to Tanakama, if he does cut through it a little bit, even though the vast majority of the shechita was done within the proper area, since when he finished the shechita, he went out of bounds, he did hagrama, he went past the end of the tabas gedayla, so it's actually pasul. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Yehudaimer, he argues with Tanakama and says, Maloi chot al pnei ruba, he only has to leave a string's worth across the majority of the circumference of the tabas gedayla, and even if he goes out of bounds at the end, no problem, the shechita is still kosher. And that's what we call rubai kekulai, since he did the majority properly, so even though the end was out of bounds, that's fine, it's not a problem, the shechita is still kosher. Now says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Darmit Shavayu, both Rav and Shmuel say, halacha k'Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, and a further clarification of this is, v'af Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda l'amar, even Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda himself didn't say that it's okay, elo b'dabas ha-gedayla, only with the dabas gedayla, ha'ilu ma'kefas es kol ha-kaneh, since, as we had mentioned in the introduction to this Mishnah, the dabas gedayla surrounds the entire kaneh, it goes around the entire thing, so there, if he cuts through the majority of the tabas gedayla, even though he went out of bounds for the remainder of it, that's not a problem. We say rubei kekulai. Aval, however, bishar tabais loy, with all other tabais, that's not the case. What does that mean with other tabais? It's not the case. So again, as we had said in the introduction, that the other tabais, the other rings of cartilage of the trachea of the kaneh, they don't go around the entire kaneh, and because of that, Rav and Shmuel are saying in shitas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, that one is actually not even allowed to shecht on these tabais at all. Since they don't go around the whole kaneh, they're not considered part of the kaneh, and therefore, one would have to shecht in between these rings. He would technically have to feel with his finger for a spot in between one ring and another where it's just skin that's holding them together, and then shecht over there and not shecht in these rings. And again, that's because this ring, this tabas, doesn't go around the entire kaneh. Now, the interesting thing about this is Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda does not say Rav in this situation, and the way we'd be able to understand that is that he holds rubei kekulai only once you're shechting in the proper place, so then if you shecht only Rav, it's okay. However, rubei kekulai is not used to determine where the proper place of shechita is, and therefore, once again, since the other tabais of the kaneh do not go around the entire kaneh, they only go around the majority of it, we're not going to say rubei kekulai, and therefore one is not allowed to shecht on the tabais, only in between them. However, the Gemara asks on this right away, v'shar tabais loy, really, one's not allowed to shecht on the other tabais, it has to be in between them, v'tanya we have a braisa, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda himself says, if a person shechts on the other tabais, even though they don't surround the entire kaneh, since they surround the majority of the kana, shchitas akshera, his shchitas kasher. Now, right away, we have a question, because it's pretty clear from here that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like what we just said on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Now, before we answer the question, we just continue with the braisa, umugremes psula, hashchitas mugremes is possible. This is going back to shchitas tanakama of the Mishnah, that even if the majority of the tabas gedoyla is shechted, if he goes out even at the end, it's still possible. However, hayd Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus amugremes shikshera, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus gave edos about mugremes that it's kosher, and actually Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is even more makel than we've had up until now. This would be the third shita, and he holds that even if you shecht completely out of the tabas gedoyla, that's perfectly fine, and that's also kosher shchita. Now getting back to our question, it seems to be we have a stira in shitas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. So Amar Rav Yosef, he answers Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda tartika Amar. Really, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds Rubik Akulai in both situations. Then not only if he shechts the majority of the tabas gedoyla and then goes out of bounds, that's okay. Also, all of the tabais of the kane are perfectly fine for shchita as well because they surround the majority of the kane, and that's also okay. That's what we just saw in the brayse at the top of the amud. It's just that Rav and Shmuel sarvi kavase b'chadu b'li alei b'chada. Rav and Shmuel, they agree with Rabbi Yosef in one, but they argue with him in the other, and that was the shita in the bottom of Amud Aleph. Rav and Shmuel saying like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, but again only in one of his shitas. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? V'ha loy amar ka'amri. Rav and Shmuel, they had said loy amar, that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda doesn't say this except in X, Y, and Z situation. So how could you say this is Rav and Shmuel's opinion that they're taking one thing but leaving the other? They seem to be quoting Rabbi Yosef Yehuda himself. So the Gemara answers that no, hachi ka'amri. This is what they were saying. Halacha k'maysay b'tabas hagdayla v'ein halacha k'maysay b'shar tabayis. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda in regards to shechting the majority of the tabas hagdayla, but the halacha is not like him in regards to the other tabayis. So really, the pshat is upheld. We continue discussing this. Kisal Reb Zera, when Reb Zera went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, achal mugremes to Rav Shmuel. He ate from shchita that, according to Rav and Shmuel, would be considered mugremes and pasul. So Amrilei, they asked him, lav me'asid Rav Shmuel at? Aren't you from the place of Rav and Shmuel in Bavel? So how could you eat such a shchita? So Amrilei responded to them, man amra, who said this din b'shem Rav and Shmuel? Yosef Bar Chiya, it was him, which is the classic Amira Rav Yosef, who we have throughout the Gemara. And Yosef Bar Chiya, Mekulei Almagamir. Yosef Bar Chiya, he learns and quotes from everybody. So he said, Rav Yosef even quoted this halacha properly, that's why I don't have to follow it. But then, Shomer Rav Yosef heard this, Ikbid, he got upset. What's that supposed to mean? Amar, he said, defending himself, Ana Mekulei Almagamirna, I learn and quote from everyone. Ana Rav Yehuda Gamirna, I was quoting this halacha from Rav Yehuda, Dafilu Sfeki de Gavri Garis. Even when he has a suffix of whom he heard a din from, he says maybe from this person, maybe from that person. So of course you could rely on halacha for me that I'm quoting from Rabbi Yehuda. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. The suffix shmei de Rav, suffix shmei de Shmuel. I don't remember if I heard it b'shem Rav or b'shem Shmuel. The shlesh matina sag b'char. Three people are able to be matir b'char b'makam she'ein mumche. If there's no expert, this is referring to firstborn animal. If it has a mum, I wouldn't know if this is one of the mumim that are going to passel this b'char. So really, we have to bring it to mumche. However, if there's no mumche, there's no expert, we can bring it to three regular people. The bottom line is we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda is very careful about whom he quotes the name of, and if he doesn't know, he quotes all the potentials whom he maybe heard it from, and I quoted him, says Rav Yosef, so of course you could rely on this din that that's what Rav and Shmuel said. So we have another question on the story. Rav Zera Leslie, nice and all of Chamriya Makam Shiatsim Sham, Chamriya Makam Shahachal Sham. Does Rav Zera not hold of this din that a person has to keep the chumras of the place that he left and the chumras of the place that he arrived at? We know that when a person goes from place A to place B, so he has to not only keep the chumras of place A where he's coming from, but he also has to take on all the chumras of the place B where he's currently located. And even if they're Makel in Eretz Yisrael and they don't hold of Rav and Shmuel's din, but he's coming from Bavel where they do hold of Rav and Shmuel, so Rabbi Abai answers, Hanimili, that's only me Bavel of Bavel. If he's going from one place to another in Bavel, or me Eretz Yisrael, one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, Inami Eretz Yisrael of Bavel, or if he's going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he still has to retain the chumras of Eretz Yisrael. Avol mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, but if he's going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Kivan Danan Kaifinon Lahu, Avdinon Kavasaihu. Since we're subservient to them, meaning us in Bavel, we're subservient to the Chavim in Eretz Yisrael, and that's because, number one, only the Chavim in Eretz Yisrael are able to impose kenasais, fines on people, and also they're the ones who decide the Jewish calendar, all the different dates and when Rosh Chodesh is and whatnot, and they're not able to do that in Bavel, so we rely on the Chavim in Eretz Yisrael, therefore we could do like them. And that's why Reb Zera, when he went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to keep the Chumras of Bavel, and he can rely on the Kulas of Eretz Yisrael. Now Rav Ashi says, Afilu Tehim Bavel Eretz Yisrael, even if you want to say that when you're going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep the Chumras of Bavel, but Hani Mili Hechletati Lachzar, that's only if a person's going to end up going back. If he's just visiting Eretz Yisrael for a short time and then he's going to go back to Bavel, so he has to keep his Chumras of Bavel. Reb Zera and Dati Lachzar Hava. Reb Zera had no intention to go back to Bavel, and we know that he remained in Eretz Yisrael. He's a prominent feature in Talmud Yerushalmi, and therefore he doesn't have to keep the Chumras of Bavel anymore. Now we have one more discussion regarding this whole Bavel Eretz Yisrael thing. Amrlei by the Rav Yosef, Abai told Rav Yosef, Varabanan the Asum Mechaiza, the Rabbanan that came from Mechaiza, which is a place in Bavel, Amri, they said that Amr Abzeir Mishmed Rav Nachman, Rav Zeir said in the name of Nachman, the Mugremes Kshera, Mugremes is kosher. So why are we saying that in Bavel they hold the Mugremes as pasul and that it's a problem? What do you mean? Rabban of Mechayza say that it's kosher. So Amr Lehi responded to him, Nara Naru Pashte, every river and its direction. This river goes in that direction, a different river goes in a different direction, and it's the same thing with different cities in Bavel. Some of them hold this and some of them hold that. So there's some that hold like Rav and Shmuel and some do not. So that's not a question. Now going back to discuss Hagrama and where it's a problem and where it's not. So far we have our three shitas. We have the Tanakam and the Mishnah that holds that you have to shecht completely within the Tabas Gedayla, and even if at the end of the Shechita one goes a little bit out of the Tabas Gedayla, it's possible. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds not a problem. Rubai Kekulai, and as long as he stayed within the Tabas Gedayla for the majority of it, it's fine. Now we have the top of this Amud, Rav Chanina ben Tiknai says that even if one shechts totally out of the Tabas Gedayla, it's okay. Says the Gemara now with another Shechita, Rav Shimon Lakish, Achshar Bechuda de Kaiva, Reish Lakish was Machshir Shechita that was at the point of the Kaiva. Remember we spoke about the Kaiva, that's a helmet-like thing, which is on top of the Tabas Gedayla, and it slopes upwards and ends in a point. So Reish Lakish holds that even if he shechted in that point of the Kaiva, not a problem. Now Kari Le Rav Yechanan, Rav Yechanan said about him, Gisa Gisa, which comes from the Lashon of Gas, that means large, or over here would be translated as too much, meaning that's way too far, way too high up. You can't shecht over there. You have to shecht much lower down. You're still allowed to shecht within the kaiva, but it has to be lower down in the kaiva. Now Rav Papi Shmei Derava, he's another shita, paga bechite trefa. If the knife was paga at the chite, meaning he shechted in the kaiva, but he shechted high up enough that he reached the chite, which were these wheat-like cartilages inside, so it's a trefa. Now the question is, what does the word paga mean over here? Ibailu asks as follows, paga vinaga bahen. When it says paga, does it mean he met them and he touched them with the knife? And why would it mean that? The Chesiv Kaz Pasuk says, Vayifga bay vayamas, and over here the word pe gimel ayin means to strike or to hit, bump into, because it says vayamas and he died. And so in regards to shechita, that would mean that he actually touched the chite, that he was there. Oy dilma, perhaps, paga v'loy naga. Maybe it just means he met but he didn't touch. In other words, he shechted near them, just a little bit below them, but not actually touching them. And why would it mean that? Because the Pasuk says, Vayifgu bay malachi elikim, and the malachim of Hashem encountered him, and they didn't bump into him, they didn't touch him, they didn't hit him, they just met him. And so in regards to shechita, the vayifgu would mean that he shechted just a little bit below the chite. I wouldn't have an answer to this. However, we continue. Itmar was stated, Am Rav Papa Mishmei Rava, Rav Papa said the name of Rava. The previous member was Rav Papi saying this in the name of Rava. Here we have Rav Papa saying this in the name of Rava. Shir b'chiti ksheira. If he left over some of the chite, it's kosher, which means he actually shechted where the chite were. Not a problem. It's a kosher shechita. And more about this. Am Rav Amemer Bar Meir Yenuka. Hava ka imna kamed Rav Chia Bered Rav Avya. I was standing in front of Rav Chia Bered Rav Avya. V'amar li, and he told me, Shir b'chiti ksheira. That if one leaves over the chite, he's kosher, which again means that even if he shechts on the chite, that's fine. Now Amar Ravina Ravashi, Ravina told Ravashi, Amar li Rav Shem Misuvra, he told me that Iklamar Zutra la Asrin, Mar Zutra visited our area, Vidarshan, he darshan as follows, Shir b'chite ksheira, that also if one is Mishair b'chite, it's kosher. However, Mar Bravashi Amar, he tells us, Haga b'chite ksheira, Shir b'chite trefa, that if one was Pegea b'chite, it's okay, whereas if he's Mishair b'chite, it's tref. As we see, the Mar Bravashi argues with these previous opinions, because if he shecht on the chite, that's possible, it's only if it's Pegea b'chite, which means he has to shecht a little bit below the chite, only in that situation is it kosher. We're stopping for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss all these different areas of where a person's allowed to or maybe not allowed to shecht. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.